I'm sure that many of you have things that are important to your life that you probably don't go too many places without them. The old credit card commercial a few years ago, you know, I think it was American Express, don't leave home without it kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of things that it's important. You know, I mean, some of you can identify with this. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But, you know, there was a day in which that you could actually leave home without your phone and you were okay. Amen? I mean, now, you know, if you leave home and you don't have your phone with you, it's like, oh, man, I forgot my phone. What am I going to do? I mean, there was a day whenever my wife and I were married for like 5 years and we didn't even have a phone. If we wanted to make a phone call, we drove down to the Food Jet with a bunch of quarters and we stood out at the payphone. Y'all remember the Food Jet? Oh, never mind. Wrong community, wrong church, wrong century, wrong millennia. Yeah, we didn't have a phone. I mean, sometimes you have these important things that you don't want to leave home without. We had a friend of ours that him and his wife got up early. He was a firefighter. She was a nurse, and they had kids, and they were going across town because one vehicle had broke down. He had to drop her off at her hospital shift. And so they got almost all the way across town, and they realized they had left the baby at home. By itself, they just began to pray, oh, God, help us, help us. One time in Montana, it was kind of, everybody had left the church. The church was locked up, and we lived right next door to the church, about as far here from Jonathan lived there. And, hi, Jonathan, how are you doing? We got a call at the parsonage, and one of the guys had already gotten home. He said, listen, We left our child in the nursery, in the bed, asleep. Can you go check on him to make sure he's okay? We'll be back in a few minutes. You know, there's some things that are important in our lives that we don't want to leave home without it. We don't want to do without it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of our hearts. Our hearts. How many of y'all know our hearts are important? Amen? Our hearts are important to our life, but this morning I want to go at it from perhaps a little bit different angle than our physical heart. I want to go at it from an angle of our spiritual heart. So this is Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to begin reading in the very first verse. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. So this morning, the question that I have to pose to myself, I have to pose it to you all, is what kind of heart do you have?
Well, I got one that pumps blood all day and all night. I can feel it in my toe.
What kind of heart do you have? Well, all of us probably have the same kind of heart as one another. We got one of these little things in the middle of our chest, or I guess it's a little bit off-center from the middle of our chest. And it does. It pumps blood all day long. We don't even give it a thought. But how many of us think on a daily basis, what kind of heart do I have in my chest spiritually? Now, a few years ago, the Queen Mary, the largest ship to cross the oceans, was launched in 1936. Through 4 decades and World War, she served until she was retired. She was anchored as a floating hotel, a floating museum in Long Beach, California. This is the Queen Mary. So they had to fix her up a little bit so as they could make this floating hotel, floating so-and-so. So during the conversion process, her 3 massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. But once on the dock, they crumbled before the scraping could begin. And on inspection, they noticed that the smokestacks were nothing more than about 30-plus coats of paint. The 3/4-inch steel plates had long rusted away. So here you have all this paint, but you have no steel behind it because it was rusted. I think how like the human heart this can happen. The outside can look good, it can look normal, while the heart can be devastated. It can be worn away. The heart is the symbol. It's the core of our personality. Now again, we have to make a shift here because I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the spiritual heart. It's the symbol of the core of our personality. Whenever somebody says, oh, that just blessed my heart, they're not talking about, does everybody know what a bless your heart means? Oh, bless your heart. That blessed my heart. They're not talking about this thing that's pumping blood inside of our chest. They're talking about the core of our personality. It's the very seed of what we think. It's the very seed of how we respond. And you and I need to be careful to monitor our hearts to be sure that our hearts stay healthy. The Bible teaches us that our hearts are to be carefully taken care of. Folks, this is what I'm telling you today. You can have heart disease of the soul. We're so careful about what we eat to manage our natural heart from being diseased. I mean, there for a long time, they cut out every fine kind of food that was good. It was fun. That had taste to it. If they had their way, we'd all just be eating kale every day, 3 meals a day. Because we don't want a heart disease. We don't want to have to end up in the hospital having the surgeries. We don't want to die early because of our heart being diseased. But heart disease of the soul, folks, this is the thing we got to understand. I believe it carries far greater consequences than heart disease of the natural heart. Amen? You see, while a heart attack can affect our physical life, an ungodly heart can affect our eternal life. I've got a dog at home. Her name is Milo, and she's just a dog. Some folks have dogs and they're kids, but this is just a plain old dog. Now, we love Milo, and we take good care of her most of the time. But Milo is a Christian dog because she's in a Christian family. And now, I'm not saying that she's saved or anything like that because I don't believe dogs got souls. But Milo knows how to pray. You come to my house, I'll get a little treat, go out there, and she sure enough will come over, bow her head, and she'll pray. And now she keys whenever I say amen. She knows that it's time to get her little head up, and she just crosses her little paws and just puts her little head down in between it. This is so cute. Now, how did she learn to do that? She learned that by me doing it over and over and over again. When I first started with her, she wasn't a very good prayer. For heaven's sake, she wasn't a very good dog at that time. But we trained her. We taught her. Amen? Now, folks, this is the thing that we've got to understand. We cannot just allow our hearts to go unchecked. Those of you that are parents in this room, you can't allow your child's heart to go unchecked. You and I have got to be people who train our hearts. Amen? In the same fashion that I trained this dog, we've got to be people who train our hearts. This morning, I want to talk to you about the process, if you would, of teaching our heart. In Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, this is, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands. If you skip forward a little bit, Proverbs 4, 23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The commands the author is talking about here, it says, keep my commands in your heart. The commands that the author is talking about is pretty simple. It's the Word of God. In other words, you could scratch out the commands there and you could just say, keep the Word of God in your heart and you'd be doing okay. Are y'all with me? Because you see, all the commands are contained inside the Word of God. Now remember, the heart is a metaphor for the mind, and in many passages you'll see it, the heart being a metaphor for the mind. The mind requires input just like a computer does. If you program your computer all backwards, guess what you're going to get out of your computer, amen? You're going to get all kinds of backward stuff. What goes in a computer comes out of a computer, amen? And so what you got to understand is your mind is just like a computer. If you put bad stuff in it, bad stuff's going to come out of it. You put bad stuff in your heart, bad stuff's going to come out. You put the good stuff that God has given us in His Word, guess what's going to flow out of your heart? The good stuff from His Word. Folks, programming our heart training our heart is absolutely vital importance. Sometimes we just go through life, dum diddy dum diddy dum diddy dum 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 dum. You ever met anybody like that? What you doing? Dum diddy dum diddy dum dum dum. What you gonna do? Dum diddy dum diddy dum diddy dum. Sometimes I believe as Christians we're like that. We just go through life. We come to church. We go home. We come back to church. We go home. And in the middle of that, folks, we got to have a plan. We got to have this idea that, man, I'm training my heart to be what God wants it to be. Because let me just tell you something. The way you train your heart will become the way that your heart responds. Amen? After lunch today, see, in my house, it's kind of like this. If I cook, well, even whenever I don't cook, I got help cooking. The dishes are somebody else's. Today, we got Preston and Dalton and Caleb. They'll be eating with me. And listen, I've got them trained to where I don't even have to tell them anymore to clean the kitchen. They just do. They just do. They just get up. They start getting dishes off and they start taking them in. I can go in there after they have cleaned up. Now, granted, they're not the perfect cleaners, but they're pretty good. But you should have seen them last week now, folks. I got to tell you, last week was fun. Lunch was in the oven, so when we got home, it was almost cooked. And they really, really, really wanted to be out of the house by about 2 o'clock, which is hard at our house. But I'm telling you, man, whenever they got through eating, I mean, they were in the kitchen like jet rockets, man. They made it out of there because they had something they wanted to do. Now, if it would have just been a regular Sunday, they would have been goofing off till about 3 o'clock. I got them trained. I'm hoping they'll stay with me for many years. Folks, let me just say something. They're responding to training. I've told them, I said, if you're going to eat here, you go clean up. Some of y'all going, oh, you're so mean. No, I'm not. They need to learn how to clean up. They may be bachelors the rest of their life. I mean, the way they're going, they could be. And I don't want them to have an all messed up kitchen. See, folks, training your heart is of absolute vital importance. Your heart will respond as it has been trained. Amen? I don't think there's a lot of people that take it so serious. It is serious that we program our hearts. Sometimes I think we take it more seriously how we program our computer, our iPhone, our iPad. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, we got to train our hearts. And I got to tell you, if you are a parent, you have got to train your child's heart. And there is nothing that builds a human heart like the Word of God. Psalms 119, this is what David said. I've hidden your word in my heart. You know what he's saying? I have trained my heart with your word. And this is what he makes a statement. He says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. His heart had been trained by the word of God so as that whenever his heart needed to respond, it responded as the word of God would respond. Amen? The Bible tells us that we should meditate on Scripture. It says we should meditate on Scripture at least 2 minutes every day. Oh no, I misread that. It says we should meditate on Scripture day and night. No wonder it says that, because we're training our heart. Folks, I got to tell you what I'm doing right now. Many parts of the world, many people in the world think that this is an absolute futile event that's taking place here, preaching the Word of God. But I have to tell you, it is not futile exercise in foolishness. It is something that is absolutely important so as to transform our hearts. To train them by the Word of God. I mean, I read it. Proverbs 4:3, it says, above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Folks, we cannot blame God for what goes in our hearts. That input is totally our responsibility. But it says here to guard our hearts. And that word, whenever you go back into the Hebrew and translate it, it means sentry. You know, the guard that stands outside the gate. I mean, wouldn't you like to have a personal guard at your house? That'd be awesome. Like that guy on the ADT commercials. He's got that big, deep voice. He's big and ugly. Hair coming out of his ears. It's crazy. Wouldn't you like to have that? You'd never worry about anybody coming into your house, would you? Okay, for you young people, what about Rambo guarding your house? I don't want to do Spider-Man. Man, no, that guy wears tights. I don't want that. It denotes a sentry. It denotes somebody standing outside, always watching through the darkness for an attack that might be coming. We need to take seriously our job of protecting our hearts. You know, I'll be very honest with you. I think there should be more times where we cover our eyes and we don't watch it. Come on. I think there should be more times whenever we plug our ears and we don't hear it. You know what my wife did the other day? She hung up on her mother. It's kind of a dual-fold reason, but she hung up on her mother because her mother was gossiping. She told me, I said, I can't believe you hung up on your mother. You know, what I said? Well, what'd she say? Then I had to hung up on Renee. Come on, folks. You know what I'm saying? There needs to be a sentry there stationed. And whenever something tries to come into our hearts that's not designed to be there, you see, something outside of the thought pattern of the Word of God, you and I got to say no to it. And there's sometimes we need to shut the eye gate. There's sometimes whenever we need to shut the ear gate so it's that it doesn't come in. And I got to be very honest with you as parents. We've got to protect our kids' hearts. Our kids are reaching the age of where they are not innocent anymore, long time before they should reach that age. Come on. We got kids nowadays in this church right here that know more than I knew whenever I was 20 years old, and they're 12, 13 years old because they've been introduced to it, and they should never. Parents should guard their hearts. I'm sorry. I'm meddling now. So let's go on. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Folks, I'm going to just tell you something. I like increase, don't you? Well, not all increase, because there's some increase I'm trying to decrease in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. But somebody comes to me and says, listen, I would like to increase your bank account by a few thousand. I'd say, oh, yeah. Y'all with me? I like that. Whenever God pours out his blessing on us, y'all understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to increase our lives. Amen? So this is what the Bible tells us here in Proverbs chapter 3. There's going to be an increase by the way we keep our heart. If we keep our heart right, God was going to increase us. It says that there's a positive side to guarding our heart. There's an increase that we're going to experience in our lives in ways that we could probably never see if we didn't keep our heart. We keep our hearts. The Bible tells us that he's going to prolong our lives. Y'all hear that? Prolong our lives. And again, that's kind of easy to understand in the general sense. God's going to prolong our life. But God's word and God's ways are much more likely, outside of just giving us longer years. Folks, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I want him to increase and prolong my life spiritually. Amen? Whenever I'm here on this earth, if I'm going to live 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, I don't really care how long I live. I just want those years to be good years. And this is what I believe about God. He's going to give me increase in the years that I live, not only numerically, but he's also going to give me a better quality of life. His word's going to give me greater coping skills as I go through this life. Folks, can I just tell you something? There is a lot to deal with in this life. Amen? I mean, every once in a while you hear somebody telling, you know, like a young kid saying, I want to grow up to be president of the United States. I don't want to be president. This is what I'm thinking. Every time the president wakes up in the morning, somebody's shaking him in his bed, said, problems. We got problems. We got big problems. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Man, I'm just telling you, I have no idea how that the President of the United States copes with that kind of nonsense. Are y'all with me? But God tells us that the problems that you and I face, we might not be awoken every day to somebody saying, hey, we got problems, but how many of you are like myself and you got problems every once in a while? Well, see, what I believe in guarding our heart and keeping our heart, it says it's going to prolong our life with many years, but it's going to also bring us peace and prosperity. God's word and his ways are going to give us greater coping skills, a greater sense of purpose, a greater plan. I believe God's word can also take away stress in our life. And how many of you are like me and you just love stress? Bah humbug. What I say to stress, I hate stress. I hate to be stressed out. My wife can always tell whenever I'm stressed out. I lie like everything. She said, are you okay? I'm fine. You know what stresses me out? Are y'all ready for this? Business meetings. Let me tell you something. Business meetings are ungodly. They're not in this book. But I'm an Assembly of God pastor, and so I'm going to do a business meeting. But I'm telling you, I'm stressed out. Every time we get to a business meeting in February, I'm stressed out about it. I'm just thinking somebody's going to stand up and say, Pastor, we hate your guts. We hate Rhett too. Listen, man, I've been a part of some business meetings before where I know there was people had guns there. And if they didn't have guns, at least they had pitchforks. Are y'all with me? I wasn't the senior pastor, but it was crazy. I get stressed out. But this is what I know. I know that God's word, whenever we keep his word in our hearts, it'll help us to deal with stress. And none of you all have business meetings to deal with, but every one of you have something that's comparable, I'm sure. Like a family reunion. Never mind. You see, this is what we ought to do about stress. The world gives us the word gives us a coping mechanism. It gives us a way to cope that the unbeliever doesn't have. As a believer, we understand what the word does. I mean, that song that we sung just a few moments ago, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are y'all with me? That's been a coping mechanism of myself for many, many years, because there's so many times I've got in over my head. There's no way, no how that it's ever going to be done, but yet the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance that word that says, listen, you can do it through Christ Jesus. He's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And folks, I got to tell you something. If you know that you know that you know you can do it through the strength that Jesus Christ supplies to you, it dampens the stress in your life. Amen? The concept of prosperity in this verse, it's not just about materialism. It's about the stuff that the heart gains from it. Not just the stuff that the world has to offer, but the stuff that your heart needs. Let me just tell you something. Your heart doesn't need a new car. Doesn't need a bigger house. Are y'all with me? Your heart doesn't need a 401k. Your heart needs peace. Come on. That's what the Word of God does. In the midst of a crisis, there can be an overwhelming peace. It just comes into your life. In fact, the Bible says it's a peace that we don't understand. We know not of this peace that comes. In the midst of our lives as we go through it, I'm going to tell you what your heart needs way more than a two-car garage. It needs joy. There are too many people that are running around this world that look like they've been sucking on lemons. Man, I greeted somebody the other day in the hospital just walking by them. I said good morning to them, and I know they heard me because they looked up at me. And they just walked right on by. Just right on by. And they had the sourest look on their face. I chased them down and tackled them in the hallway. I said, "Didn't you hear what I said?" No, I didn't, but boy, I thought about it. Goodness. That would have been funny, though, wouldn't it? I said good morning! There's too many people that don't have joy. We got to have joy, and that's what guarding your heart does. You put the Word of God inside of your life, you're going to have prosperity. Man, you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have the salvation that God brings to you. It is so nice to be able to lay down at night and know if I don't make it through the night. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be in heaven. There might be two or three people here on earth that's sad that I'm gone, but I will not be sad. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get to heaven and go, "Man, I died. Oh, man. Shucks. Man, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to go, "Man, this is awesome. I'm glad to be saved." There is so much comfort in being saved. I'm one that has been blood bought, blood washed. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the Most High God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is not the only way that you're going to receive blessings by your heart being kept. I really believe this. I believe God will make you prosper, not only your heart prosper, but I believe that He'll also bring physical blessings to your life. The next part of the scripture talks about basically what your heart is going to do. How many of y'all know that your heart actually has a job? And I'm not talking about your blood pumping job that you can feel in your toe. I'm talking about your heart has a job to do. The core of who you are has a job to do. I mean, this is what I believe. I believe every one of you in this room, it is your responsibility to touch other people with your life. Now, to kind of help us delineate what I'm talking about is this. Have you ever had something tug at your heartstrings? I left Carlsbad, New Mexico. I went to Houston, Texas. And in Carlsbad, New Mexico, we hardly ever had to do anything with benevolence. Somebody coming in and asking for help at the church. But whenever I went to Houston, it was a whole other story. It was a huge church. It was in a neighborhood that was very oppressed, depressed. Incomes were very low, and so there was a lot of need around us in the church. And so one day a week, it was your job as a minister to just deal with people who were coming into the church for help. Make sense? And the first few months I was there, I gave people everything I could give them. They'd come in and say, "Listen, my spaceship crashed, and I need to get it repaired." And I believed them. I gave them. The church had all these policies in place that were so constraining that I couldn't help them sometimes, so I would help them out of my own pocket. Because their stories would touch my heart. Renee would call me every once in a while. She says, "On your way home, will you stop and get this and this and this from the grocery store?" And I said, "No." She said, "Why not?" I said, "I don't have no money." Now, this is before we had cell phones, and ATM cards, credit cards. We didn't have any of those. And so if I didn't have any cash, I'd have to go to the bank and write a check for cash. Some of y'all going, what? It used to happen because I'd given it away. Because their stories touched my heart. Now, this is what I found out in Houston. About 90% of those people were lying to me. They didn't even have a spaceship that needed to be fixed. And there came a point in my ministry that I became cynical. I mean, literally. I just thought everybody that walked through the door was lying to me. Now, I'm somewhere in between right now. And that's probably a good thing. But our hearts, the heartstrings can be tugged at. Are y'all with me? This morning, though, folks, I'll tell you. We've got so many people with messed up hearts. We just got so many people with messed up hearts. They were not diligent about guarding their hearts. They were not diligent about training their hearts. Are y'all with me? And their hearts today are messed up. There's things that people absolutely, they see it and they are just totally oblivious to it whenever all the time our hearts should be tugged at. I mean, folks, we've got people with messed up hearts. That they can walk into a crowded place and just begin shooting innocent people. Are y'all there with me? And it's even beyond that. I mean, folks, today they could be showing us videos of starving people in a certain country that's just been trodden down with famine. And many times we don't even think about it. It's because our hearts are not the way they should be. Our hearts should be torn whenever we see the suffering of any other human being. Are y'all with me? Our hearts have a touch. And there's no way that our hearts can touch lives that are around us if we are not guarding our hearts, if we're not doing what it is that God has called us to do, if we're not putting in our hearts what we should be putting in, if we're not training our hearts. The quality of our heart is as important as the information that's in our heart. In Proverbs 3:3, it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." That's what it says. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. It says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of our heart. So here the writer of this proverb, he's telling us to bind love. He's telling us to bind faithfulness around our neck. I really believe that there is perhaps at least one generation, perhaps two or three generations, that need to understand love. Our young people on Wednesday night, I've been talking to them about loving God. How many of y'all know that we should love God? So often we don't love Him like we should love Him. The Bible says, Jesus says this, He says, listen, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And you have to understand what He's talking about there. He's talking about this idea of, a lot of times we keep His commands because we don't want to go to hell. We keep His commands because I don't want to be embarrassed. Are y'all with me? We should keep His commands because we love Him. I would never do that because I have a love for Jesus. Let me just tell you something. It's way easier to keep a command if you love that person. Amen? Instead of saying, man, I got to do it, it's saying, man, I get to do it. Are y'all there? Because I love Him. But this is what I believe. I believe so often when we talk about loving God, it's just like a foreign language. Because so many of us were never loved like we should have been loved. I grew up in a home where, I'll be very honest with you, I don't think I ever got real, genuine love. The closest thing I ever came to love was with my grandfather. He loved me, man. He treated me like he loved me. And I loved him back. My own father never told me he loved me until I was grown, married, out of the house, had kids. Are y'all there with me? Now, it's just kind of strange to call my dad on the phone, and whenever he's hanging up on the phone, he says, man, I love you, JD. Oh, good grief, man. What has happened here? But we have a whole generation, and perhaps two or three generations, that they don't understand the kind of love that God's talking about here. Let me just tell you what is a huge ingredient to somebody loving somebody else. It's called faithfulness. Come on. Let me tell you something. If you love your spouse, you are faithful to your spouse. If you are not faithful to your spouse, you need to check your love barometer. Come on. You love your church, you're faithful to your church. Come on. You love God, you're faithful to the things of God. And he says here, says, guys, you need to bind these to your heart. You need to bind them around your neck. Faithfulness and love. Don't ever let them leave, because folks, without faithfulness, there is no love. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you all you want. But if you do not mix that love with faithfulness, it's not love. I mean, I love the way God did it. God says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then this is what he says. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come on. God is a faithful God. The human heart can absolutely no way love as it is designed to love without faithfulness. Period. The power of faithfulness and love can transform lives like nothing else can, or the lack of faithfulness can inflict pain like nothing else can. Faithfulness can transform it. Faithfulness is absolutely indispensable to a heart of love. If you love, you will be faithful. I've heard people say, I haven't seen my kids in 20 years. Why not? Well, I love them and everything. If you love them, let me tell you something, you will make a way. I know I'm meddling, but that's just my opinion. You will make a way. One of the tragedies in my own household is that my kids have, for the most part, grown up without their grandparents. And now, please don't misunderstand me. You know, I know we've lived a long ways away for many years, and the trips back and forth to their home, so on and so forth. But my mom and dad, my wife's mom and dad, were both retired and had means so as they could travel if they wanted to. But my kids don't even know them. Whenever they talk about their grandparents, they know them as my mom and dad, but they are not close with them in any way. I have to tell you, over the years, many times God has provided for them to have grandparents within this body of believers. Men and women that have come alongside of them and just loved on them. Whenever we first got here, my youngest, Caleb, he fell in love with this guy named Brother Troy. Many of you know who Brother Troy was. Brother Troy used to just come over and love on Caleb, bring him all these little things, and just, he brought him a toolbox one time with a padlock on it whenever he was little bitty. Brother Troy treated him like grandparents ought to treat their grandkids. Now, Brother Troy is in heaven. I guess he's being a grandfather to a bunch of kids up there now, but my own mother and father made a decision to not be close to their kids, not be close to their grandkids. None of them have ever seen their great-grandkids. And they could have. Are y'all with me? They could have. If we're going to love somebody, we have to be faithful to them. Okay, we're going to move on a little bit before I get to meddling too much. You ever been impressed by something or someone? Somebody that could lift a lot of weight? Someone that could do some kind of athletic thing really well. Obviously, in that area, no one in this room have ever been impressed by me. Can't lift a lot of weight. Can't do anything athletic. You know, let's bypass all those things for a minute and just think, man, what if I had an impressive heart? Seriously, What if you had a heart that was impressive? And I'm not talking about, you know, you're laying there on the table and they split you open and the doctor looks in and goes, whoa, man, this guy has got an impressive heart. Not what I'm talking about. Get your camera. We're going to take a couple of pictures of this thing. It's impressive. I'm talking about it a little bit differently. I'm talking about a heart that is tuned rightly, I guess, is the best I could come up with. You know, the musicians this morning, guitar players, they were playing, and one of the things that's key to playing a guitar is that you need a guitar that's tuned correctly, eh? If you don't have a guitar that's tuned correctly, all kinds of things are going to be wrong as you play the song. And that's the same way as a heart. As we go through our lives, our hearts need to be tuned. Whenever the heart is properly tuned by the word that we put in it, by God's word, whenever it's full of faithfulness, whenever it's full of love, I got to tell you something, that heart is going to be a heart of impact. I had the pleasure one time of meeting a couple of missionaries that all through my early years of Christianity, I had heard about these people. Their name was Mark and Hilda Buntain. They started a missionary outreach in Calcutta, India. Well, it was India, but the Calcutta was kind of their headquarters. They built a hospital there. I mean, they built a hospital there. I'm not talking about Angel Medical Center. I'm talking they built a hospital there. Tens of millions of people have gone in and out of the doors of that hospital, and for the most part, all the medical care is free. Mark and Hilda Buntain both are dead, I believe now, but their lives touch hundreds of thousands of individuals. They built orphanages everywhere. They built feeding centers. And they were just, folks, I got to tell you, they tell the story about whenever they first went to India, and they talked about how their hearts were impacted by the individuals that were on the streets, the kids, the adults that were, their lives were so horribly impacted by the poverty that they lived in. Mark and Hilda Buntain impacted millions of people with the size of their heart. If you ever met him, he was something else to be around. Hilda was there, I think, just to keep him honest. But they were wonderful people. Our lives have to impact the lives of others. I preached a funeral in Houston, Texas one time. I got a call, and they needed a pastor to come and preach a funeral. And I showed up to preach the funeral. I didn't know the guy. I just, you know, built kind of a generic sermon. Never met the family. Never met anybody. So I didn't know what to expect. And it was a simple graveside service. And I got there, and there were three people at the funeral. Myself, the funeral director, and one of the people who worked at the cemetery. The man had no one. No one. I don't know all that went on in his life, but one of the things I did learn was that he had pulled himself completely away from humanity about the last 40 years that he lived. He had totally estranged himself from his family, his friends. Folks, our hearts have got to make an impact on the lives that are around us. And I'm not saying that so you can have people at your funeral. I'm saying that so that you can impact the lives of people around you. This is what it says. It says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. It will not only be favor with God, but it'll be favor with others. And you build favor with others because you impact their lives in a positive way. The world is looking for men and women who are healthy examples of love. That's what they're looking for. People just want somebody to love them. Amen? They just want somebody to love them. They just want somebody to love them. And half the time, the world is looking for love in all of the wrong places. Don't underestimate the impact of living out God's love in your life. I think today in the United States, none of us would have an argument to believe that the family in the United States of America is under great, great stress. In fact, perhaps we should say it, the family today in America is in great trouble. And you don't need to misunderstand what I'm saying today. I'm not saying that every kind of legislative thing is wrong. I'm just telling you that we are not going to legislate this land to strengthen the families. Are y'all with me? They're not going to pass a law in Washington, D.C. that's going to make the families strong again. We need to bring love back into our homes again. We really do. We need moms and dads to step up and love their families. We need grandparents to love their grandkids. We need aunts and uncles. We need people to love. It was so good. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a baby dedication. Man, I tell you, that was awesome. I got to dedicate baby Nora. But you know, I charged the parents. Yes, they're there, man. They're going to raise that baby. But then I brought the family up on the stage and I said, man, are you going to help? And yes, they're going to help. But then I had all of you guys stand up and I said, are you going to help? And folks, I got to tell you something. It's so wonderful to have my granddaughter going throughout this church and people loving on her life. It wasn't very long ago I came out of the youth and I came over into this building and somebody had been in the nursery babysitting Nora and they came out and said, I got to hold Nora all service long. And they were happy about it. I'm so thankful we got people to love my grandkids, my kids. But we got to bring that love into the homes all across the United States of America. I mean, today we're trying to impose godly legislation. And please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm okay with that. But political means are never going to restore this nation. It's not going to happen through the political process that we have here in the United States. If the whole House and the whole Senate voted yes and there was no abstentions whatsoever, you have to understand, it's still not going to happen. There's too many people that are doing stuff like fighting to get prayer back in school. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. If you want to fight to get prayer back in school, but I'm just telling you, man, we ought to be fighting to get prayer back in homes. It's going to take God's help to carry that burden. While the world makes these attempts to show it can carry this burden to bring the family unit back together again, you have to understand it's going to fail. There's only one way, and that is the way God has instructed us. He says, guys, you've got to keep your heart. You've got to train your heart to do what's right. You've got to put my word in your heart. Whenever your heart is healthy, whenever your heart is vibrant, full of my word, you're going to make the right decisions. You're going to do the right things. You're going to be right by your family. You're going to be right by your employer. You're going to be right by the world. And lastly, this morning, I want to talk about, you start doing all this stuff with your heart, you know? You're getting it all trained up. And lastly, this portion of scripture we read, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart is going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of, let me say, it's going to take a lot of serious effort. But it's going to pay back some serious benefits. Trusting God, training our heart, it's going to pay back some amazing benefits. See, the more that we trust Him, the more instinctive the response is going to come from our heart. You know, that's what training does. My father was a New Mexico highway patrolman for 37 years of my life. And they trained him and they trained him and they trained him and they trained him and they trained him. He went to an initial set of training, I think, for 3 or 4 months. He was there living on site, and then they released him. And every year he had to go for refreshers, 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 refreshers. And the reason that they trained him so much is because they wanted the response that he gave to any situation. They wanted it to fall back on his training. This is what we've trained you to do, and this is the way you respond to it. That's what God wants. He wants us to be trained. He wants our hearts to act instinctively. Whenever you're around a law enforcement officer that's been well trained, you will see many, many things that they do that is just instinctive. I used to ride with my dad a whole lot in the car, and I was ride along with him, and I'd go, and he would come back in, and he goes, "Did you see that so-and-so did that?" And I said, "No." And he says, "I guarantee you they got drugs in their car." I go, "Really? I go to high school with them." He was just instinctive. He just automatically knew because of his training. Are y'all with me? Just automatically knew. My dad, at one time, he received an award through the state police, New Mexico State Police, of retrieving the most stolen cars of any officer. He just had this thing that he'd be driving down the road. He meets Calvin. He says, "Hey, that guy's driving a stolen car." And obviously, you wouldn't be. I'd say, "No, that's Calvin." He just looks a little shady. But if you've got Christy, you're okay. So Christy, you need to ride with him more often. Folks, whenever we train our heart, that's the way we're going to be. We're going to be instinctive. What you will be in your old age is being created right now. I had some interaction not very long ago with somebody, and I went home at lunch, and I told Renee, I said, "Renee, if I ever get like that, just take me into the backyard and shoot me." I was dealing with someone that was quite a bit older than me, and they were cranky, and the only thing that came out of their mouth it was just negative, 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 negative. Are y'all with me? I said, "Just if I get like that, just shoot me." She said, "I will." Now, what you're going to be whenever you get old, you're doing it right now. You are training yourself to be what it is that you're going to be whenever you get old. Whenever we get old and we have godly instincts, whenever we respond the way God wants us to respond. An elderly gentleman that went to church with us in Montana, I got to tell you something, this guy was just full of Jesus. He was just full of Jesus. I'm telling you, he was just full of Jesus. I seen him hurt himself one time. He hurt himself. And he just grabs his hand and he goes, "Whoa, just bless God." And I go, "Man, it's bleeding." Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? It was instinctive for him not to open up his mouth, and you know, you have to do the button. You beep, 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 beep. There was something that had happened inside of his heart. Over many years, he had trained his heart to respond. And whenever his heart responded, it lined up with this word right here. His wife developed Alzheimer's disease while we were there. And I'm telling you, man, I was close to them. And I walked through that disease with them. And I'm telling you, there would be times when he brought his wife in. And she would not even know him. And they'd been married 60-something years. And he said, "Can you talk to her? Just help her to understand, you know, that I'm her husband." She called the law one time. And they stopped him out on the highway and got him out of the car gunpoint because she told somebody that she had been kidnapped by her husband of 67 years. But I never once seen him respond any other way but the way this word. I'm telling you, I used to tell people, I said, "Man, whenever I grow up, I want to be like Irvin," because he was a man of God. Let me tell you what he did. He's gone on to be with Jesus now. His wife passed away, and then he passed away. But he got up one morning knowing that the Lord was fixing to take him home. And he got into the kitchen and he baked a whole bunch of pies for his funeral. Yeah. I missed out on that, though. I'd already came here and I didn't get an opportunity to preach his funeral. But it would have been an honor to preach a man's funeral like that. See, how are we going to respond in the midst of a trial or a tragedy? How are we going to respond? I've been to the hospital hundreds and hundreds of times. I've been there whenever families have just been crazy. You just go in and, man, I mean, they've got them in a counseling room and there's a social worker in there just trying to get order. Because, indeed, there's something horrible that's taking place and they've just lost it. And then I've been there whenever you walked into the room and there is peace and there is quiet and there is confidence. How are we going to respond in the midst of a trial? How are we going to respond in the midst of a tragedy? We should be able to respond instinctively. And the only way we'll be able to respond instinctively is if we have trained our heart. See, training is developed from repetition. It's true. Do it over and over and over. Instincts, that's what they come from, is that training over and over and over. How many of y'all know you can train somebody wrong and they're going to respond in a bad way, but you can also train somebody right and they're going to respond in a good way? So that training, it has to be over and over and over. That training is about repetition. Trust in the Lord. That's the last part this morning. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He's going to make your path straight. Whenever I look at that last part of that scripture, I think, you know, if I trust in the Lord, and folks, you got to understand, you're not going to trust in the Lord unless you've trained your heart to trust in the Lord. It's all about training your heart, repetition, repetition, repetition. But you get to that point to where you trust in the Lord, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, you submit to Him, you say, Lord, my life is in Your hands. Basically, this is what I think of whenever I see that last scripture. I think of insulation. Insulation. You know, a well-insulated house protects you from the heat during summer, and it protects you from the cold during winter. Now, let me just tell you, here they don't have them because they would melt. But in New Mexico, they have these things called adobe bricks. They're made out of mud and clay and some straw, and they make these big old bricks, and they make a wall that's about 12, 14 inches thick. And I got to tell you something, in the wintertime, keeps you nice and warm. In the summertime, it keeps you nice and cold. I wish we could have adobe bricks here, but like I said, they would melt because it's humid here and it rains too much. In New Mexico, it's dry, no humidity. I always think of insulation, though, whenever I read this last verse. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, submit to Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So what is it that insulates the human heart? What insulates the human heart from becoming spiritually cold? Because that's what insulation does. You have to acknowledge Him in all your ways. That's what it says. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And the only way you can acknowledge God in all your ways is if you have trained your heart to do so. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, it's going to insulate your heart from coldness. It's going to insulate your heart from despair. It's going to insulate your heart from anger. It's going to insulate your heart from sin. That's what happens whenever we train our heart appropriately. Insulation's not going to work if it's not applied. If you just have rolls of insulation out in your pickup truck and you never put them in your house is probably going to get cold this winter. Amen? You got to apply it. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, folks, it's fairly simple. Whenever you look at Proverbs chapter 3, I really believe that God gives us a little pattern in there, just a little notebook full of stuff that he says, man, if you would do this, it'll be amazing for your life. And this is my heartbeat for you. I believe this is God's heartbeat for you. He wants us all to live this life as good as we can live it. I believe God wants us to live this life as good as we could live it. I believe ultimately God wants to make our paths straight. That's what it all culminates in.